Hello and welcome to the first episode of Diamond Insights. I am your host, Naleli Star. So I decided that for the first episode of this podcast, I could just dive into introducing myself and also what the podcast is going to focus on. When you read through the description, the focus is more on self-care, personal development, culture, book reviews, Bible study, and everything related to being female. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, y'all, I'm female. So for the first segment of the podcast, I thought I could talk about something that is very, very dear to myself, something that I had to stop last year and just think to myself, am I really living the life that I want to be living? So majority of the times as we are growing up, we have all these plans, we have this dream of what we want life to be. Perhaps when you were somewhere in grade 12 or maybe even grade 7, for some of you who really had all your life figured out, you kind of knew, okay, when I grow up, I want to be a nurse, I want to be, nobody ever said I want to be a banker, but I think majority of the people said wanted to be lawyers and they wanted to be doctors. And those are some of the careers that were really lucrative, I think, at the time that we were children. The case is not the same right now, or maybe I stand to be corrected. But one thing that is very important to me, and I think this is something that I began paying particular attention to sometime last year, is who am I as an individual? When I wake up, I dress up and I go out there. I'm just not waking up and dressing up and just walking the streets of Lusaka or walking the streets of wherever it is that I am at. I am actually packaging myself and presenting myself to the world. And the world is going to react to me depending on the way that I package myself. So I began to ask questions. Who am I? I began to establish identity for myself. I have a clique of girls who I'm very close to. And sometimes I hear them talk about me, or sometimes I hear somebody talk about me, and especially my boss sometimes, and I'm like, okay, who's that woman people are talking about? She probably definitely has my name, but I don't think I've met her yet. So I started reflecting, who am I? Who is Nalukwe? When somebody hears of me, or when somebody talks about me, or somebody wants to describe me to a certain person, or they want to introduce me, who do they think that I am? How have I packaged myself for the rest of the world? So I took some time, and this is something that is so important, but a lot of people never get to do. And I never thought that I would sit down and be doing that. I got to a point when I was doing that after listening to Miles Monroe. I love listening to Miles Monroe on YouTube. I think YouTube is the most abused app on my phone. I just want to put that out so that it's out of the way. So I was listening to Miles Monroe, and he was talking about living a fulfilled life. But how do you begin to live a fulfilled life? You just don't wake up one day and you're living a fulfilled life. It takes small, deliberate steps. Also, I listened to something by Lois Evans, may her soul rest in peace. She passed on in December, and she was talking about the same thing, about creating legacy, about creating a purpose for life. But how do you create a purpose for life? So today's episode is going to be focusing more on establishing identity. And I know I have been talking about packaging yourself for the rest of the world, but today we're going to talk about specifically packaging yourself for you. When you go to bed, when you think about yourself, what are some of the thoughts that come to your mind? So, like I was saying, I went through a process of coming up with a personal vision. And I know, you know, a lot of us think like a vision is something that an organization should have. If you have worked for an NGO or you have worked for a highly organized organization, you do know that this is something that the organization is going to have documented. Why then don't individuals take themselves serious enough to be able to document what the vision is? Are we just going to be those ladies, those girls who come into this world and just leave life or let life happen to us until we reach our final destination and we're long gone and we're buried? All the successful people that we see, whether it's locally, whether it's internationally, the Oprah Winfrey's, you know, the Mzinga Melus, these are people who are very intentional about what they want for their lives. And I don't know if they got to write it down, but all I know is that it helps me a lot when I write things down. So last year, I got to write in my personal vision. I told one of my besties, I said, listen, I've been listening to these videos, I have read up on these articles, and I think I have reached a point in my life where I actually want to write down a personal vision. So what does my personal vision look like? I'm just going to read segments of it, or maybe all of it, and then maybe just talk about it a bit. So my personal vision is to become very effective, efficient, and organized in my career and family social life. Every day of my life. Let's just first start with the vision board. I know a lot of you have done vision boards, or at least you've gone through the process of coming up with New Year resolutions. Your personal vision is what is going to guide what you're going to put on that vision board, what you're going to put in those New Year resolutions. For a very long time, what I would do is come 1st January or maybe 30th or 31st December of a year, and I'm thinking, oh, I need to write down New Year resolutions, and I'll be wondering, oh, what can I put on my list? What can I put on my list? And I wasn't doing it from a point of I'm actually going to commit to those. I was doing it from a perspective of, you know what, it's common. This is what everybody does around this time of the year. They sit down, they pin down a few things. Oh, so this year I'm actually gonna raise I don't know, maybe $10,000 for my savings account. I'm going to go out and do this and do that and do this. And guess what? I never looked at those things until it's like December, and I'm like, oh, I actually had resolutions for the year. And sometimes I get it. Some of the resolutions that we put and not actually just all meant out of our effort. It's also just time and chance happening to us all at a given time. But the important thing is to be prepared for those things and to be intentional about the things that we actually hope for, about the things that we actually want in our lives. And this is what really having a personal vision does for you. It's having the end in mind. It's knowing this is what fulfillment would look like for me. I think that's the right phrase. You want to be fulfilled. You're always constantly working towards something, but you need to know what that thing looks like so that when you get there, you're able to know, okay, this is where I'm at. I've actually arrived at my destination. This is what the picture, the complete picture itself looks like. And it is so important to continuously write it down. I'm just one of those people, I guess, who just loves to write things down. I'm constantly writing things down. I actually have a book where I just sit down, I take time, and I just write. I write whatsoever it is that comes to mind. I write about where I'm at right now. I write about where I need to be. I write about what I'm feeling. I write about a lot of things. And it's really very good to write things down. It helps you, first of all, to just unbottle, to empty yourself, but also to just document some of the things that you want, some of the things that you're longing for in a certain period of life. And I know sometimes our desires are just for a season, but if you have a reoccurring desire, so to speak, and sometimes it's not a legitimate desire, it's not a good desire. You know, it's a desire that you're kind of ashamed of, or it's a desire that, you know, goes against maybe some of the principles that you set for yourself. But it's just knowing, okay, in this season of my life, normally I desire this thing. For example, there are certain times. Right now, I don't drink. I used to drink. I stopped drinking, I think. It's been, 24 months, not 48. It's been 24 months since I last drank. a sin or anything like that. I just got to a point in my life where I just felt like, okay, I want to be sober now. I don't want to be drinking anymore. But there are times in life right now when I go through certain things that I desire a glass of wine. Yo, I desire a glass of red wine. Or I just want to down a six-pack of Hunter's Gold. I don't do it, but that does not eliminate the desire for me that I want to actually do those things. So it's just knowing at what point in my life, what are the circumstances that lead me to be in a position where I desire something that nobody even asked me to stop drinking. I made that decision on my own. So I need to know. So when I'm constantly aware of it and I write it down, I'm kind of knowing, okay, at this last time when I wanted to take alcohol, I was going through this. Last time when I wanted to take alcohol, maybe I was stressed out at work, or I was stressed out about something, or I was stressed out about this, or I was feeling low, I was feeling sad, or maybe, for example, last year I lost my mom. And I think I struggled a lot more with wanting to just drown my sorrows than any other time in my life after I had actually quit drinking, because I was going through something, I was grieving. So it's just that kind of thing. I love to write. So back to establishing identity. So the reason why I'm advocating for people to write down their personal vision, regardless of how big it is, regardless of how small it is, I think the important thing at the end of the day is that you get to a point where what you have written down is what you actually want as an individual. It's what fulfillment will look like in your life, you know, in a given season. And also, this year, so I wrote down my personal vision last year. So this year, when I was actually doing my vision board, guess what? I didn't have to like sit and Google stuff. What do people want to do in 2020? Like trending resolutions for 2020. You know, I'm the kind of person who Googles something like that. But I actually just looked at my personal vision and saying, okay, this is where I'm at right now. So what do I need to do to actually get to where that vision is? Part of my vision reads, I want to retire at age 45. You know, what will retiring at age 45 mean? This year I'm turning 31, which leaves me with approximately, I think, 14 years. So what am I doing to start that 14 years journey? So much that the 45-year-old self, you know, when I do get there, can actually look back and say, we were well prepared to make this decision to retire at 45. And by retire, really, I use the word loosely. So if we meet at 45 and it's true working, just know that, you know, that's just some passion work that I'm doing. So I have a whole different operational definition for retirement. So I don't want you to be busting my bubbles when I'm 45 and you see me doing some consultancy work or lecturing. You know, that's my retirement work. That's what I'm calling it. But it's just because I have the end in mind, I'm able then to do what I need to do now that pushes me towards the end in mind. So even if like ever you had to see like my vision board, majority of the things that are on the vision board are working towards fulfilling the personal vision itself that I have set. Another aspect that I thought should come with establishing identity is, what do I value? Again, for organized, for structured organizations or projects or anything like that, they will tell you, what do you value? Because values really drive your work. If you value youth empowerment, for example, if you are a pro-poor government, and I don't want to dive into that, but if you are a pro-poor government, your policies are going to reflect that you are a pro-poor government. Even just the activities that you put in place, your budget is going to reflect that you are a pro-poor budget. A pro-poor government. It's those things, you know, that help us in making daily decisions. It's who you are. So for a very long time, very, very long time, I just felt like maybe I demand a little too much from the people around me, or maybe I demand a little too much of myself. I remember I must have been a teenager, maybe 18, 19, somewhere there, probably 18 at most. I had a friend of mine, and he tried to make a quick move on me, and right there and then I drew that boundary, and the next words that came out of his mouth really left me confused. He was like, "The problem with you is that you are too," what's the word that he used? "Like, I value myself too much. Like, I have raised the standard." I'm just trying to remember the word that he used. And I felt confused because I thought that was a good thing. But the way that he said it made it sound like it's a bad thing. Like, it disadvantages me to be what he said I was. Like, to set the standards high. Like, to have boundaries around me. And so what that did is, and I didn't really think of it until maybe more recently, maybe in the last 2 years, that after that, I kind of started relaxing some of the boundaries and, you know, breaking down some of the standards, because I legitimately felt like he could have a point. I'm actually disadvantaging myself, you know, having all those boundaries. I mean, it's just people, that's how they kick it. But no, it's not. It's not. And I should never have felt that way. And I wish I had somebody to have a conversation with me about the fact that what I was doing at that time is actually the right thing to be doing. So as part of breaking down my personal vision, or just as a way of establishing identity for myself, this is what I did. I came up with personal values. So I was actually doing this also at the same time, doing it for our organization at work. So one of the things, I'm just going to read a few. I think I have like 2, 4, 6, 18, 12, 14, 16, so I have 16 in total. I'm going to read a few that I know that mean so much to me, in order of priority, but some of the things that I'm immediately working on right now. So one of them is mentorship. So mentorship, I have value, and then I have a narration. So it's, I write mentorship. What does mentorship really mean? What will living out this value look like to me? So mentorship reads, "I endeavor to build and help those behind me, and always ready to learn from those ahead of me." I think this is something that is so important to me. And simply because I don't think that I had enough mentors. I never had enough people that I looked up to that I could actually have a relationship. I'm not talking about just looking up to somebody like, "Oh, yo, Beyonce is doing her thing. Oh, Oprah Winfrey is doing her thing. So, you know what? She's my role model." I'm actually talking about somebody who you look up to that you can have a conversation with when you're feeling insecure, when you're feeling scared, when you're about to do a boss move. And they're there with you, and they're thinking through that process with you and letting you know, okay, fine, this is a good move, but there are risks associated with making a decision like this, and these are the risks, and this is how you can mitigate it, and this is the best path that you can take for yourself. I never had that. I have two girls. I'd love for them to have that. But more so, I'd love to be a resource just beyond my girls. I'd love to be a resource for people out there. Also, one thing that I have really been deliberate about is just learning from people who I kind of feel like, oh, this person is ahead of me in a certain area. And here is the thing. So you could have actually people who are younger than you, who have their stuff together. You know, they're just like, they've had a head start. So there's no harm in learning. And sometimes, and I think it's the truth really for everybody else, there's no person who's all-rounded, you know, like well-developed everywhere. We all lack in some area. And that's why there's always, always room for improvement or room to learn. So for me, really, it's just saying, okay, I love that. And sometimes, because the people that we want to learn from may not have the time to actually sit down with us and teach us, it is just so nice to be able to observe. One of the people that I think I have learned so much from in the last 2 years is my boss. He's just a few years older than me, but oh gosh, in terms of personal development, I think as a human being, he could be 60 years for all I care. He is so well developed in the way that he sets his boundaries, in the way that he communicates, especially just communicating. He's so clear, he's so precise, he's so honest in a way that does not offend other people. And for me, that is like, you know, communication goals, if I should say. And I'm constantly learning. So I'm literally in his shadow. And I don't mind being in his shadow because I have learned so much from being under his shadow. And I guess, I don't know if you can call it a stroke of luck, because it's the same thing. I think even with just my previous boss, I learned so much from her. And we never really had like time to sit down where she's kind of mentoring me and saying, you know, Nalu, this is how you make decisions, this is how you manage people. But just being in her shadow and just seeing her do her thing, really, I picked up a lot. And I said, you know what, I want to be an empathetic boss. I want to be the kind of person who exercises their authority in a way that empowers other people, not in a way that, you know, undermines other people. So it's that kind of thing. Also, there's continuous learning, which I think I've touched on a little bit. I am deliberate and consistent in the search of new information and skills development. I've already told you, y'all, I literally abuse YouTube. There's so much information on YouTube that I'm just constantly, I just type in a word and, you know, recordings come up, videos come up, and I'm just soaking myself and just, you know, eating all that up. One of my best friends will also tell you, I literally Google everything. Like, I could be listening to something and, you know, a word has come across, or a phrase has come across, or, you know, there's just a new maybe concept that has come up from what I'm listening to or what I'm reading. I'm all on Google. I'm like, Google, what's this? You know, can you break it down for me? And if there's more information, I'm like, oh, yo. When you come to the end of a Google page, there's normally like other people search this. I'm like, oh, I want to search that too. I want to know what they know. So I think I'm in that space. Also, maybe I could talk a bit about communication. Communication is one of the things that is really important to me. So on communication, the narrative reads, all communication is important. Feedback is not a vote of no confidence, but an opportunity for growth and a platform for improvement. So I literally deliberately put the narrative like this because I think for the longest time, I'm one person who dreaded negative feedback. I always wanted people to be okay with what I did. I always wanted to get positive feedback. And just coming into a space where I feel really comfortable about getting negative feedback about my performance or the way that I relate with other people. Or just anything really that does not align with what I expected is what perhaps I'd call negative feedback. So it's just being in a space where I feel confident enough to actually accept constructive criticism, to analyze it, to think, yes, if this is worthwhile, then maybe I should be changing something and how can I improve. I also do really appreciate people who tell me, listen, Nalu, I think this could be done a certain way, and then, you know, like, oh, Nalu, I don't think that this was done correctly, but also just telling me how best I can correct or best I can improve. I really appreciate people like that. So really, today, I think those are my two takeaways or giveaways for this episode. It's just telling people we all need to get in a space where we begin to become very deliberate about establishing identity. we need to move away from the old narrative of just allowing life to happen to us, depending on, okay, this is the background where I come from, this is the people that God placed into my life, and I love God, and I know that He's, you know, intentional about placing people into our lives, but it's up to us to kind of get that revelation of why is this person into my life, and how best can I improve this relationship, and also if you need to end certain relationships, and just becoming the best you to fulfill your potential. There's nothing more fulfilling like living a purposeful life. I see people who live a purpose-driven life and admiration. I'm just attracted to them. I want to know how they got there. How did you even know that this is your calling? You know, how did you know that this is the purpose for which you were created? But once you just realize that that is the purpose for which you were created for, and you begin to walk in that calling, trust me, you will begin to feel more fulfilled. Also, another issue from a conversation that I had with a friend of mine that gave me a lot of peace is just knowing we are not all going to have the same calling. So I know there are people who are called to serve the entire world, you know, so they're doing all these big projects that are impacting Africa, they're impacting Asia, they're impacting Europe. That's their calling and they're working in it, and that's good. But calling is calling regardless of where you are, regardless of the size. For some people, calling is just Sunday school teacher, you know, and it's impacting the lives of those little ones, regardless of how many they are in your class. That's a calling. It's something that you should take seriously. It's something that is going to give you fulfillment. Last year, when I was talking to a friend of mine, she was on the verge of making a decision, and I was just, in my advice to her, I was telling her, listen, whatsoever it is that you desire in your heart, that's where God is calling you. So when you feel like, oh, I'm so good with kids, oh my gosh, I'm so good with women, oh gosh, I'm so good with counseling, oh, I'm so good with this, that is in you, that gives you so much joy when you do it. That is the root cause of your calling. That is something that you should be exploring and just trying to find out. Is this where my identity can be established? You know, is this where I can set a mark for myself so much that when I am long gone, that's the legacy that I leave. That's the legacy that I leave. That I did this thing. Even if you just impact one life or two lives or three lives, it doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is that you established who you are and you walked in your true identity. And you can only do that when you begin to become deliberate about thinking about, oh my gosh, who am I? What will living a fulfilled life or a purpose-driven life look like for me? What do I want for myself? How do I get to where I need to be? And you can break that down. And also, as an individual, what do I value? You know, because we're going to come across a lot of people who are going to say a lot of things, who are going to behave in a certain manner. And it's just knowing, can I put up with that? You know, what am I given? What am I getting back? What do I expect from a relationship? You know, even just from friendships, you know, from colleagues. When you know what your values are and who you are and where you're going, it helps you also just set up boundaries. It's knowing, I respect that's who you are, and that's the way that you behave, and that's the way that you talk, but I don't have to put up with it. So sorry, but no thanks. I'm not going to take it out of my space. It's creating that boundary for yourself, because you begin to understand, okay, this is what I value, this is what respect looks like to me, this is what honesty, this is what transparency looks like to me, this is what passion, this is what trust looks like to me. I want people who are decisive when I'm talking to them. I don't want people who leave me hanging and I'm wondering, okay, are they deciding against? Are they deciding for? I need to know where people stand. And if you're not for me, I'm also okay with that. I'm confident enough, I'm secure enough to accept that you do not support what I'm trying to do. So anyway, for the first cast, really, this is what I just wanted to talk about. I hope you will be joining us again next week as I give you another element, another segment of Diamond Insights with me, your host, Naleli Starr.
Hello,
Hello and welcome to our second episode of Diamond Insights with me, your host, Naleli Starr.